have it in our present. We're discovering what the Word of God has said in the past about miracles, how Jesus did miracles, because we want Jesus to walk into our lives and do the same. Amen. It's a good word that we have part two today, so I'm glad that you're here. Are you ready? Do you have your message notes? If you don't have your message notes, you'll need them, so raise your hand high and I'll get one of our men, our mighty men, to give those to you. 100%, 100%, everybody has them. You'll need them, you'll enjoy them. All right, there you are. Good, good. The psalmist on the big screen has a scripture that we're using for our theme scripture all month long for our new series in Psalm 77:1, the Living Bible Translation. And the psalmist, like most of the time, he's griping. He's saying, they're going to kill me. Where are you, Lord, when I needed you? And that sort of thing. Kind of like what we do. But by midway through the psalm, he talks himself into a victory. Talks himself silly, so to speak. Like, God, I recall that you did this for me. God, I remember when you were faithful to me and the people of God. I remember. And so at 77, at 14, because they didn't have verses back then, midway through the letter, the song that he's singing to the Lord, he's saying, you are the God of miracles and wonders. I'm no longer going to gripe. I'm no longer going to complain. I'm going to say, you are the God of miracles. Do you see how the atmosphere changes when you begin to praise God? Because God is great and greatly to be praised, right, everybody? And he goes on, you're still demonstrating your awesome power. Not only did you do it in Rocky 1, but you did it in Rocky 2, and then you did it in Rocky 3, and then you did it in Rocky, and you're still doing it. Amen. Can I wake you up this morning? God's still very present in what he's doing in your life. Jesus is still the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. You're going to make miracles happen today, and so you still demonstrate your awesome power. And so God is great and greatly to be praised, right in the house today? Have you ever wanted to meet greatness? Have you ever wanted to meet somebody that was is great and you wanted to kind of touch greatness? The closest I ever got to that when I was a kid was this guy that was a golfer, and his name was Lee Trevino. And the reason why I liked him so much was because my dad liked him so much. And so when we did watch golf, they used to call him the Super Mex or the Merry Mex before we got politically correct about calling Mexican people and all that stuff. And we can't do that now. I'm offending some of y'all right now. Why'd y'all call him that? Probably get slapped on the way out of church for calling somebody Super Mex. Well, that's what they called him. And so my dad and I would watch golf a little bit, and there's Lee, and he'd always have a smile on, and just they called him the Merry Mex and so forth. And so when I kind of got older, the pastor of the church that I worked for got these Texas Open passes, because he lived in the Dominion, and he had passes, so we got to go. He sent the staff to go, and so I got two passes. Me and another friend, we went, that worked there, we went to the Texas Open at the Dominion, great country club. So there was the Merry Mex, the Super Mex, golfing, and so we kind of followed his entourage hole to hole. He was, and we were there standing, and we wanted, man, I said, man, what if I could get close to him? I don't want to bother him with getting an autograph, because I could take it back to my dad, who was still alive at the time, would surprise him. But I got real close. I got closer and closer as I could. And then I started noticing something about Lee. He was talking to the media, and one of the guys shouted out to him, hey, Lee, what do you think about this weather? Because it was beautiful weather that day at the golf course here. And Lee shouted something back, but he kind of sounded like my Theo. Because my Theo would say these slang words and cuss in Spanish, half Tex-Mex, half Spanish. I don't want you to think of the cuss word right now because you're in church. But he cussed on the golf course, and he said this and that. But he sounded just like one of my Theos, or just like my dad when he got mad. And I thought, man, there's nothing great about that dude. He sounds just like one of my uncles, who's a homeboy, So my level of Lee kind of diminished. He's a great golfer, but he's just an ordinary guy. What if you could meet somebody that was infinite, not only in his humanity, that went through everything that you went through, but also was God, and God so much that he could do miracles, and God so much that he could stop things from happening and open doors for you that meant to be open and bring all the provision that you needed. Well, that man's Jesus. And so when we meet Jesus, we're not going to be disappointed, are we? He's not going to do something on the golf course. He's just like my Theo. No, God's going to be God, and God is going to be great, and God is going to be awesome, and God is God, and God is greatly to be praised even at this moment. Right, everybody? Amen. So Jesus, He extends his kingdom and he wants to go further, and he wants to, because that's God. He has this heart towards people. And he demonstrated in the passage of the Bible that we're about to read in Mark chapter 4. You can look it on the big screen, or you can look in your Bible, your devices, and go to Mark chapter 4. And you see that the child of God, they often have trouble come to them, often storms come to them. One day, in a moment, it's swell, and then the next moment, in a flash, it's hell that you go through, just like the disciples went through. What I notice is that God can speak a promise over his people, Old Testament, New Testament, and the promise is going to happen, but in the meantime, there's difficulty. In the meantime, there's storms. And just because the Old Testament was promised that they would go into a promised land, how many know the children of Israel, the people of God, had some insurmountable things that they had to go through that seemed challenging and like they weren't going to make it, but God still saw them through, right, everybody? And so I believe in every one of us in this room that we need a miracle. Of course, we're at that poised point to get a miracle, but you may be in a miracle and say, I'm just trying to get out of a storm right now. And I want you to watch the hand of God work when we cry out to God and see God work in our lives today, right, everybody? So you and I are on this journey with Jesus, and we're going to new places. And God is saying, I've taken you this far, but we got to go further. And so new territory at times, sometimes there's powerful storms that happen in life today. Let's look at the faith in the storm. Mark wrote the Gospel of Mark, of course, but it was dictated to him by Peter. He was Peter's scribe, Peter's secretary, basically. And so what I like about Mark, it moves fast. It's a fast gospel. And this is a fast story. It doesn't take up a lot of room, and it's quickly done. And don't you like church that way, too? Amen. Look at one guy. All the men say amen. Amen. So it's good. It says, verse 35, on the big screen, on your device, or on your Bible that you're reading, like we used to have back in the day. Amen. On that day, when evening had come, he said to the disciples, let us go over to the other side. Somebody say, let us go over to the other side. I swear I'll make you come up here if you're not helping me. Amen. Leaving 36, hear the word of the Lord. Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. And there were other boats with him also. A furious squall came up, which was a storm. Waves broke over the boat. They were bailing water, and they were nearly swamped, and they were trying to bail the water out of the boat. Jesus was in the stern, asleep in the cushion. And so when you bring your own pillow, how many of you recognize you don't want the hotel pillow because you have read all the articles about the comforter and all the things and the remote control, and you're going to bring your own pillow at the hotel. Amen? Some of y'all don't get out much, right? Okay, that's okay. Amen. But when you bring your own pillow, you want to sleep. So Jesus brought his air-inflated mattress. He was going to sleep. The brother was tired, right, everybody? He was human. And the disciples woke him up and they said, teacher, don't you care if we're about to drown? And he got up and rebuked the wind and he said it like this, quiet, be still. Maybe like that, right? And then the wind died down and it was completely calm. The sea was like glass. Which, by the way, when you speak to wind and waves, how many know those of you guys that have been on a boat, it takes a while for the sea to calm down after the storm. It's still going to be choppy, but our Jesus is supernatural. He calms. Everything got shut down, all right? And he said to his disciples, why are you so afraid? Why is it that you still have no faith? They were terrified, and they asked, who is this man? Other translation, who is this that even the wind and the waves obey him? They were not only scared, they were scared. Have you ever been scared? It's not scared, you're scared. It scared me. Yeah. And that's that fear that you get, that you can't, I can't control this thing. I'm overwhelmed. You feel the fear of pain, the fear of death, the fear of the uncontrollable, and it's a hostile world. And fear can have a motivating factor on us. It can either paralyze us or it can move us to act in the right way. There are storm realities, life storm realities that we all face. And I know that they're true because I've gone through them just as you've gone through them. Every one of us in this room have gone through a storm. And you know what the positive thing about this is? If you haven't gone through a storm lately, then get ready. Come on, pastor, encourage me. I'm a positive pastor. You're going to go through a storm. I want you to have these notes handy. I want you to have them ready so you can remember and recall God's going to still be good to me. God's going to see me through, even if they're telling me I'm going to die on a deathbed. No, I'm going to live today. Amen. The real people that love Jesus, they take extra notes. A couple of extra notes here. I only have three extra notes. Storms come at inconvenient times. How many of you recognize that? Give me a hallelujah if you recognize that. How about hallelujah? Yeah, they come, don't they? Man, we had just paid off that bill. And now we're in debt again because this happened. Something else happened. And you get, you know, why did that happen all of a sudden? And they come and inconvenient, don't they, my brother? Amen. Verse 35 said, the Amplified Bible, on that same day when evening had come. And so we recognize a storm doesn't need to happen at night. At least let me see, because those candlelight lanterns that they may have had or may not have, they're going to get blown out with a lot of waves and wind and water, right? So trying to keep them going so I can see where this typhoon is taking me, spinning me round and round, and waves are coming at me. It's just not real convenient to have electricity back in 2,000 years ago. And it's pitch dark, and a storm is turning a boat. Can you imagine the terror that they must have felt? They can't see where they're going, and the storm is taking them. And so in your life today, storms come at inconvenient time. Man, we just had just this day or gone through this trial, and something else happened to us. How much more can I take? Amen. After a long day of ministry that Jesus had encountered, laying hands on the sick, touching people, blessing them, he was tired, and it came at an inconvenient time. Why now, Lord? Why now? Amen. And so storms of life come out of nowhere. How many would agree? The second thing I've recognized about life storms, sometimes storms occur right in the middle of God's will. The disciples, they were doing God's will. Remember what Jesus said? He said, let us go to the other side. And so he gave them really marching orders. He said, we're going to the other side. They were doing what Jesus told them. It's funny. Jonah in the Old Testament, check this out. Remember him? He was disobedient. He was on a ship. And all the waves were coming at him. Because he was disobedient, the storm came. The disciples were the complete opposite. They were doing what was right. They were going to the other side, transporting Jesus. But they got into a storm too. So what am I to think? I'm doing God's will? The storms of life? Well, you must not be in God's will, brother. Because all these things, bad things happen. No, sometimes it's just the contrary. You're doing God's will. And you still get the storm in your life. Does that set anybody free today in the house, right? The final thought is this about life storms and when they occur in the reality. Storms occur even to those that are closest to Jesus and God. See, they left the crowd behind, verse 36. They left them behind because the crowd was there. Give me some food. I'm going to see a miracle. And I'm going to leave. I'm just hanging out. I'm being with Jesus. And so they were there just for the gravy. These guys were close to Jesus. They'd laid down their life. They'd given up the fishing business. They still had some boats, but they were going to give. Those are probably borrowed. You know what I've noticed through the years? Not one Christian, including myself, doesn't want to see a miracle. I want to, don't you? I'm not going to trick you. I want to see a miracle. How about you? I want to see miracles. Thank you, two honest people. But you know what miracles you have to have a problem to have a miracle. And I don't think you want the miracle, but you don't want to get in that position to get the miracle. Just like Nava Boy, right? So what I'm going to do in a moment is have the elders come up if you want a miracle, and they're going to lay hands on you and say, give them a problem. Are you going to come up? You like that, right? Yeah. You know, every pastor that I've watched on YouTube or I've seen in person, or every Christian that I've heard with a testimony that's touched me and blessed me and ministered to me, do you know why they've done that? Because they've had problems. They've come out of brokenness. They have a testimony. They're close to Jesus now. There's a lady in our first service that was blind, and she cried out to God. And she's a believer now because God has her eyesight now. It's incredible. Yeah, she's praying that God's going to do miracles now. We prayed with her. The elders of the church gathered. We prayed and believed God. But she's praying louder than the elders of the church in this corner when we prayed in the first service because she's seen God now move. She's a believer. But did she have a problem? Big time. She was blind, but now she sees, right? Douglas Cochran that sits with us with Sophia Long, because how many know if you're a spouse, you go on the same journey. He's seen a miracle, but boy, did he have a problem. He fought for his life. We fought for his life. He sits here with us today as a representation of what God can do. You might have a problem, but God is about to position you for a miracle. Amen. To God be the glory. Amen. To God be the glory. To God be the glory. When we dedicated, not this building, but many years ago, believe it or not, we dedicated the student center when that was our sanctuary. And those of you who have been with me on the long walk, the district supervisor of Foursquare was a man by the name of Charlie Krause. I've had a bunch of them, man. I've had all these godfathers. Don Corleone's been my godfather. Michael Corleone. Clemenza. You know, so I've had Charlie Krause was one of our godfathers, and, you know, for the district in a way. Five families. And he came. And you know what? What I remember him, what he spoke, it wasn't really about him dedicating our building, our tiendita that was a day-old bread store that we made into a church. And we made it beautiful. And now it's our beautiful student center that children are taught God's word. What I remember him, and I said, Charlie, Pastor Charlie, didn't call him Charlie. Like, I said, Pastor Charlie, I said, how can I introduce you? Because I really don't have a bio on you. And we were on the front row there, and he said, can I tell them about the churches that you've opened? And because he pastored a bunch of churches, and how long you've been in ministry, about your marriage, how. He said, Mario, why don't you tell them about my failures? So introduce me on how much I failed, how much trouble I've had, how much problem I've had. Tell them about that when you introduce me. And I said, okay. I didn't do any of the sort, of course. I found plan B and I introduced them the right way. But people that touch you, people that bless you forever, or you remember they usually come from a point of brokenness. Amen. And so they're close to Jesus because God has them close. Oh, bless me, Lord. I'm going to get a microphone and preach. And you're asking for that. Go ahead, ask for it. Yeah, because usually trouble comes because we need Jesus more and you need to lean into him more because God's going to use you even more. Right, everybody? It's no accident that you're here. God is with you. Amen. He's for you. Amen. He'll see you. God is still good, even in the storm. There are principles about the storm today that I'm going to share with you. Your storm can end, and how can it end? Here it goes. Number one is this, faith to go. Yeah, faith to go. Jesus steps onto human history, and through his words and through the kingdom of God that's on the move, the kingdom of God is moving. God is on the move, and Jesus was on the move in Mark chapter 4. God's this moving person, and he's going to not be held back, not by us. He's going to move. Have you ever noticed more than half of God's name is go? G-O-D, G-O-D, because he wants you to go. Amen. Most of God's name is go because he doesn't want you to be in park your whole life. Give me, muévete. Give me a good amen. Muévete otra vez. Amen. You got more work to do. Amen. Jesus is getting his message across at this very point, at the very beginning. Let us go to the other, and he wants you to move the same way. Go in the going, amen, because God is in the go, right, everybody? On our Good Friday that we're preparing 150 eggs, and we're going to do a Marbach Manor outreach to the community just down the street, I want you to show up with me because God is in the go. If we stayed here in this building forever, we would be edified, but we would be edified. We'd be these fat babies. Fat, fat, fat baby. Amen. There used to be a song like that by Amy Grant. Amen. A fat, fat baby. Y'all remember that? That'd been generational Christians here. Because she said, basically it was a song to mock Christians that all they do is get fed. And they don't use their spiritual muscles to reach people. And that's what outreach does. Outreach deploys you to go for God. And at Marbach Manor, we're setting up something that you'll go love people, that you'll go honor, you'll go feed people. You'll be there with the children, telling them how much God loves. We won't shove religion down their throat. We'll give them the good news that God is for them, not against them. That God is, who else can tell them that except you, right? Well, you could do it, Pastor. Yeah, and they would say, you're the pastor, you're meant to do that. But if they see your average Joe, they see you that works 8 to 5, you that are retired, you that have job, you that don't really, you're just a member of Living Faith Church. You have authority to do it. You speak into their world, into their atmosphere. There's families that have come from that complex that are now part of our church. Amen. And those that remain, amen, they're still part of our church and they're good today and they're blessed today. Right, everybody? And it says that day, are you with me on the passage again? When evening had come, he said to his disciples, let us go to the other side. Why don't you finish the last sentence with me, verse 36. Come on, stay awake with me. On three, 1, 2, 3. Leaving the crowd behind, they took along with him just as he was in the boat. Jesus made a promise to them, and he says, we're going to cross to the other side. How many know Jesus is a promise keeper? They were going to the other side, right, everybody? God is with us today, and he's with us in his promise because he's promised us that he'd be with us if we go. God is with you in the go today. The Bible speaks of this parable, and a great king in the parable that Jesus is telling is trying to do this wedding banquet. And he says, you know, invite the first wave. And the first wave were the hoity-toity people, the people that had Grey Poupon on their sandwich. They were the people that, and you know what? Not one showed up cold-blooded to the king. So the king said, send out a second invitation. And they sent out a second invitation, and nobody showed. Well, the king gets ticked. And all the messengers, all the heralds, he tells them, now invite everybody. Let the floodgates be open. And I got that passage with you because it's incredible. Matthew 22:8. Are you there with me? Read it on three with me. Come on, let's do good today. Amen. By reading the word aloud, out loud today, Living Faith. You, by watching on social media, you can read it too because the outline's there. On three. 1, 2, 3, go. Then he told the servants, we have a wedding banquet to prepare, but no guests. The ones that were invited weren't up to it. Go into the busiest intersections of town and invite. The servants went out and rounded up everyone that they laid eyes on. The good, the bad, the ugly, regardless. Aren't you glad that the good, the bad, and the ugly? Because we all got invited, right? Who's ugly in this room? Come on, lift your hand. You know you are. No. Who's bad? Yeah. We all got invited. And there's that word right there that I have in the yellow that's highlighted on the big screen. That's that same word that Jesus uses when he gives the Great Commission in Matthew 28. Go into all the world, guys, and preach the gospel, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, and teach them to become my disciples. And I'll be with you. I'll be with you until the ends of the earth because you're going. There's a conditional promise there, right? You got to be going. You're sitting on the sideline. You can't move. God can't be with that. God's going to go into the risk. God's going to go into the deeper water, ain't he? Because God has to show up with us, right? Thank God. Amen. God is into the problem, and he's saying, so I like that grace changes us. The kindness of God changed me. God was good to me, right? Well, it's not my heart to really be kind, Pastor. I'm just not naturally given over to that. Do you know what happens if you make the choice to be kind to people? At Marbach Manor on Good Friday, about 2 p.m., and we give out Chick-fil-A sandwiches, and we put eggs together, and we hide them, and the children have joy. You know what God does to kind people like that? He makes your heart bigger. Well, I'm not that way. You know what God does to a person that doesn't naturally fit the kind act or do kindness by, it doesn't come natural to them. He makes your heart, he molds it. He changes you because you've been kind whether you feel it or not. And that's the grace of God. Because God showed you kindness, you can show someone else kindness today. Yeah, amen, today. Right, everybody? The second thought is this, faith in responding. The Sea of Galilee, because of the mountains that it's in and the pressures of hot and cold weather patterns, there were storms that happen all the time there. It's still to this day where it's at. They say if you're going to park your car because there's all these restaurants by now, they even have warning signs. If there's a storm, you better move your car because we're right by the lake and the lake could come up and ruin your car with a big wave, and it's going to be on YouTube, and everybody's going to laugh at you. So they say, move your car, because they knew that there were storms. So these were seasoned fishermen, almost half of them on the boat, which, by the way, they found a vessel that they would have used during the time of Christ. Archaeologists dug up, and it's like this skeleton. You can go and Google it. It's like a skeleton shell. And I guess no more than about 15 disciples or people could have fit on that boat. It was that small. It wasn't like a yacht. It was a small enough boat. Can you imagine the waves that were hitting that? And the response of the disciples proves that they weren't in any mundane storm. This was a storm that they'd never seen. They say that car accidents happen within 5 miles of your home. How many of you ever heard that? Insurance, State Farm, that guy that's riding in the car called Chaos or whatever he is. He always sits in the back seat and makes you wreck on the commercials, right? Yeah, so I always think, man, when I get within like 5 minutes of my home, get ready. I'm looking around, amen. Something's going to happen to me. You ever want to ride with me, amen? Buckle up, amen. We're almost home. I made it home, right? Whew. These disciples were familiar with the sea. They were near to their home. Jesus, though, on the other hand, as they're wrestling with the sea, he was probably very tired because he slept. I watched a video just in preparation of this of the Jesus story and the Jesus films. And when they show this, it's funny because all this rain is coming and the wind and that ship is like the special effects they have on that ship. And Jesus is knocked out, man, sleeping. I mean, it must have been something that he'd gone through. Was he really asleep? How can you sleep through something like that, like a hurricane hitting you? I think it would have rolled him out of the bed. Amen. But Jesus is still sleeping. So that was kind of funny. I'm a nerd. I watch YouTube Jesus videos. Is that okay? You can watch them with me and be a nerd, right? So you can watch. Anyway, let's look at the scripture. A furious squall came up, a storm, and waves broke over the boat. And so nearly they were swamped. They were bailing water as fast as they could. Jesus was in the stern, again, sleeping on a cushion. And so we better wake up Jesus. I can hear Peter telling, you know, one of the disciples, John, wake him up because we're about to die. And I don't want to get to heaven. And God says, you've killed the Messiah. You've drowned him. Amen. Why didn't you wake him up? This storm was not your typical storm. And it's kind of like you. Just not a headache again. Just not a toothache again. It's not just something. No, this is an emergency. Death or life. I can't control this thing that's taking place. This relationship, whoa, that's happened. This heartache that I'm feeling. My son's in rebellion. My daughter's done this and that. And you feel you can't control the situation. My health, what is going to happen today? Lord, do you really care about my loneliness? He was asleep. Why are you, really? You're asleep, Jesus? You're sleeping through my life crisis right now? Or why does it seem like you're not answering? Be honest. I felt like that in my life. How about you? During the most pressing times, there's these emotions about the doctor's report or the financial, the relationship outcome. And I'm in a storm, Jesus, really? And you're sleeping? Why, God? Why? It says, the reed continues, the disciples woke him up. And I want to encourage you, the disciples weren't perfect. In 2,000 years, we've had to dissect their lives, 2,000 years, because they put their mistakes in the Bible for us. Aren't you glad nobody wrote your mistakes so everybody could remember them? Be honest, yeah. I'm glad my mistakes aren't limited. But the disciples, they did something. They woke Jesus up. So find Jesus in your storm. He's not lost. Call out to him. He'll be near, right? And they said, teacher, don't you care if we drown? And he got up and he rebuked the wind and the waves. Notice who he speaks to first, not the disciples, but to the wave, the problem, the situation. Quiet, be still. The Greek of that feeling, the quiet, be still. Somebody say, quiet, be still. Quiet. You know what it was? It was like the tense of you rebuking somebody that's a subordinate. So you telling your toddler, don't talk to your mama that way. And then, you know what? Matter of fact, quiet, be still, time out. For the rest of the day, hush. Nothing else because you did that. That's what this rebuke was. I think the wind might have said, well, we didn't know Jesus was in the boat. We wouldn't have acted this bad. I would have behaved a little bit better, right? Then the wind died down and was completely calm. God is for us. Hit your neighbor and say, God is for us. The world, the flesh, and the devil, they're against us, but they're no match for God. Right, everybody? I've noticed people that go through storms, they can either become a victim or a victor. Yeah. So talk to God about your problem. We tend to talk to everybody else. We talk to social media. How many comments am I going to get that people are going to? Because, yeah, that's God bless you. But talk to God first before you put it on Facebook. Before you talk to the friend, before you go to the higher power player on this earth that has money, talk to God. God is waiting for you to wake him up. Amen. Wake up the Savior. God is fighting for you. God is on your side. Right, everybody? Do y'all remember? Yeah, that's a good time to say praise God. Attaboy, you're doing good. Thank you, choir. Thank you, choir. I'm going to preach a little bit faster now because they're amening faster. Amen. Yeah. Okay, I'll go slow. Amen. No. There's always that guy that asks for homework. Amen. Give us homework, teacher. You've forgotten. Jurassic Park, that first one, that was the best one. My generation, Jurassic Park. Not these Jurassic Park, whatever. But Jurassic Park, that first one. Do you remember that raptor scene when they're in that dome? And those two raptors are coming after those the family. They're going to eat them. Remember that when they're in the dome and they're trying to run and get away? And the kids are falling off the skeleton thing that they have in that dome thing. And the raptors are right there and it looks like, man, it's doomsday. It's almost the end of the movie too. So you think, is it going to end this way? On the edge of your seat. And all of a sudden as the raptors get closer, this T-Rex appears and whoop, it makes them like a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, those raptors, man. And throws them around like they're baloney, man, just against the wall. It's an incredible scene. And now those people that were running for their lives from the raptors, you know what they're doing? They're not in fear of the raptors. They're in fear of that T-Rex. Because the T-Rex can go through buildings and annihilate them because T-Rex is awesome with power and bite. And now they're out running the T-Rex in scene two, right, in that Jeep. And it's incredible, right? If the T-Rex before us, then who can be against us? Can I tell you this? Because God is much bigger than the T-Rex, much badder than the T-Rex, much mightier than... So if God before you, who can be against us, right? That needs to be our response to the problem. I got a promise from God. I'm going to see this thing through. God's going to heal me today. God's going to make me well. God's going to make my relationship. Is that my response? If God be for me, who can be against me now? And you shout that out and you believe it in the fourth quarter with the two-minute warning and the Spurs win. Give me a good amen, right? What? Yeah, God's into the Spurs, right, everybody? One person plus God makes the majority that's unstoppable, right? This is how good and bad and how awesome and how mighty my God is. God knows all the stars by name, the billions of them, and yet he knows my name too. Amen. If you're like me, I forget people that I married in this church. They come back, hey, how are you? You're visiting? No. You married us 8 years ago. Yeah, that's right. How are you, brother? How many know God doesn't forget your name? He knows you. The final principle is this. Are you glad you stuck it out with me today? Amen. Faith in your aftermath. After the hurricane, the intense storm damage, NBC, ABC, CBS, CNN, Fox, all of them, they fly over the scene of Port Aransas, Rockport, and they see the buildings that are leveled by the storm. There's going to be a rebuilding that needs to take place now. Lots of money that needs to happen. And that's what happens in a storm. The divorce hits, the cancer diagnosis, the rebellious child moves or hurt pain happens, and there's all this aftermath of a rubble that can happen. Or if you put it in God's hands that has a promise for your life, here's what can happen. It's called redemption. And God redeems brokenness, and he redeems lives that have been shattered, and there's a mess now. Nothing but mess. And God has a way of making something so beautiful into a painted masterpiece. And he says, you're beautiful. You're going to be used again. I'm going to rebuild you. I'm going to redeem you. And your best days are yet ahead. And he said to the disciples, why are you so afraid? Why is it that you still don't have any faith? Yeah, you can laugh at me. Amen. I'm silly up here. And he was terrified, and they were terrified, and they asked each other, who is this man that even the wind and the waves obey him? The disciples were terrified, but now there's a different kind of fear. And you need to learn the right kind of fear of the Lord today in this room. Because we need to fear God. And we need to grow in our fear of God as a congregation, as individuals. Because how you go, our church goes. How you go as a family, how you go as a married couple, how you go with that attitude, how you go with that workplace, how you go. Well, I used to do. No, how you go in fearing the Lord, our church will go. Yeah, it really will. Well, God's about love, man. Jesus loved kids. He was blessing them. Jesus fed people. Jesus, you know, loved people. Jesus loves the little children. Jesus loves me. I'm the Lamb of God. I'm a little lamb. I'm just lamb by Jesus, yeah. You know what he did, though? He rebuked wind. He was a fearful God. He was a mighty God. He was, and so I think we get a little bit casual with God in our laziness about really not obeying God like we should. And God is calling us back to saying, fear me because I am the Lord and I'm jealous for you today. Don't put any idols in front of me today. I find it kind of funny that he says, he told the disciples, why are you so afraid? If it would have been me, they would have wrote my name. The disciple Mario said this. Why are you so afraid, disciple Mario? Because we're going to die. We were going to die, Jesus. Okay, I'll back down after I yell. We were going to die. And why would he rebuke them for not having faith? Because if you remember at the beginning of our story in verse 35, he said, let us go to the other side. He didn't say, I'm going to the other side. I'm going to walk across by myself because I can do this thing walking on water. I've done it before. I can do it again. I can walk on water. He said, I don't know about you guys, but he said, let us go under the other side. Let us cross with a bridge on the other side. I'll make a road and a highway. He said, let us go. And they forgot his promise. And we do that with God constantly when we forget, we minimize. In the light of problems, we minimize the promise of God. Did I say that? Yeah, I'm going to take notes on myself. When there's a problem in your life, you can minimize and shrink the promise of God in your life so it's so minimal that you can't see it and all you see is the problem. But you need to see the promise of God that we're going to the other side. Jesus the Master said, the all-knowing, the all-powerful, we're going to the other side, so we're going to the other side no matter what. And you can do the same today. You need to be careful what you hear because God's word is speaking. And when you hear it, we need to listen to it like it's going to happen. Faith, all faith is believing and pretending like Jesus is going to do it with everything that you got into it. You fake it until you make it. You just suit up and show up and let God do the rest, right? The storm couldn't disturb Jesus, but the unbelief of the disciples disturbed him greatly. And your unbelief in God disturbs him today. And so does mine today, because we're all in the same boat. But when we believe, we identify with a Savior that's all-powerful. Amen? Yeah. Because the winds and the waves were the only ones that really obeyed him that day. The disciples didn't today. Amen? We need a restoration of the fear of God within our lives so the world will see it. So God will show up at Marbach Manor or at your workplace or at HEB, where you go buy groceries, or where you live, because you fear God and people see it. You respect God today. That thing about the Sabbath that Jesus said, or that God said in the commandments, did you know that's true? Don't forsake the Sabbath. Remember me on the Sabbath, right? I'll sleep in today. I got a little headache. God meant that. So why are we so casual with the commands of God? Well, nobody wants to look at pastor because they missed last week. I'm sorry, guys. I'm just telling you the truth today. Amen. Let me tell you about a movie again because I seem to wake you up when I talk about movies here. I wish I had a scene to show it to you. You ever see those movies where there's this person or this thing, entity is unstoppable. Terminator, they shoot missiles at him. And Terminator keeps coming. Smoke, fire. Terminator, now he doesn't have any skin on, but he's metal. But he's still coming. He's unstoppable. That's the picture of our Savior. You can't stop Jesus. He's relentless. He keeps coming at you today. Glory be to God for a kingdom that is not shaken. We're built on a rock, and if you're with God, you will not be shaken. Amen. The high priest in Hebrews that is described, it's a high priest like this. It says that he identifies with our weaknesses because he was man just like we are. And so he understands every heartbreak, every blood that is cut in your life. He understands every disease that you face because the fear of God within us is the cross that he faced. And you know, the fear of God will put us, because we see hell, the most hell that we'll ever see, put it on an individual at the cross, and that should give us the fear of God. Jesus went through that for me so I could be forgiven. I'm going to fear God a little bit more now. Because the grace of God changes us so much so, not that we're doing what we want to do. The grace of God makes us kind. It makes us an individual that's changed because of the love of God. I'm not going to do that because God has been so good to me the way he gave his life for me. I must change. I must become a different person. And that's why the writer of Hebrews talks about this unshakable kingdom that we're part of. In Hebrews, it says this on the big screen. Read it out loud on three. One, two, three, go. Therefore, since we've received a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful with reverence and awe. Yeah, yeah, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. But yeah, yeah, oh yeah. I'm worshiping God. Yeah, I'm careful right now because God is here. This is a holy moment, right? And we live that way. You know, if I hadn't seen like my best friend, my BFF, in about maybe 5 years, and, you know, we hadn't seen, I'd probably give him a hug, you know, right? Hey, I hadn't seen you, Beto, how you been? Hug me, dude. You know, I hadn't seen my best friend in about 5 years. John the disciple, the beloved, the one that said Jesus loved the most, he wrote that letter. I wonder how the other disciples in heaven feel about that after hearing that. He didn't love you the most, man. He loved me. But he wrote that about himself in the book of John about himself. He could write it. He was the author. He was Jesus' BFF. He was the one that laid on Jesus' chest during the Last Supper. Remember that? He laid on him. And you know what? If I had a friend like that, if I had a friend like laid on me like that, I would say, hey, we're tight, but we ain't that tight. Get off me, right? Yeah, it's awkward, right? Thank you. Why is Pastor with that guy like that? You know, let's take a picture. Let's film that. That'd be good on social media. John, the disciple, hasn't seen Jesus in 5 decades, at least 5 decades. He's an older man on the island of Patmos. And so he sees his BFF for the first time after the resurrection, the glorified Jesus, the one sitting at the right hand of God, the King of kings and Lord of lords. He sees him 5 decades later. And this is what happens when he sees, hear the word of the Lord. Revelation 1:17. And when I saw him 5 decades later, I fell at his feet like if I were dead. Well, when I get to heaven, I'm going to talk to Jesus and I'm going to just sing to Jesus and I'm going to, no, you're not. You're finally going to shut up because you're going to be speechless because of the awesomeness, the majesty, the power of God. And it says that we bow before him and we throw our crowns at his feet, because that's all we can do to somebody that has stopped the wind and the waves, and it speaks to demons and he says, get out. And he speaks to disease and he says, come out of that body. And he opens blind eyes and he opens deaf ears and he raises the dead. Who are we not to obey him if that is obeying him? Who are you not to obey him? Who do you think you are if you're not going to obey God? You got to obey God today. Jesus was all man and all human. And I love it that he would die on a cross, but 3 days later he was all God and he rose. I love it that he was hungry and he went to sleep, but then he stood at the stern of that ship and he said, peace be still, and he stopped the wind. Yeah, because he's all God, and that's our infinite greatness in God, right, everybody, today? And so the love of God, finally, what's most important, the fear of the Lord does not eliminate God's love. The fear of God does not eliminate God's love. We tremble at His name to obey Him. It's kind of the best way I can illustrate this is show you this final slide. I'm going to finish with this because I'm out of time. Mount Everest is this highest mountain on the face of the earth. And what's incredible about this mountain, it adds to itself every year because of the climate change. It just keeps growing and getting taller and taller and taller. It's incredible. You don't want to go to Mars. You can climb the mountain. You can see different weather patterns. The weather patterns on Everest are so incredible that in 30 seconds, the temperature can drop like 30 degrees. Just in a matter of seconds, patterns and wind weather patterns can shift. The wind can kick up from 0 to 100 miles per hour. 100 miles per hour can happen that way. So let's imagine in the theater of your mind today that you're climbing the mountain with a mountain guide, and he's taking you up to the very top. And all of a sudden, a blizzard hits, and the temperature begins to drop. You lose the mountain guide. You can't find them, and the temperature's beginning to drop. And in your suit that you have, your warm snowsuit, you're starting to even feel that penetrate. And you're going to get cold, and you know that you're going to die if you don't find some refuge. The wind begins to blow. The temperatures are dropping. And all of a sudden, when the storm is hitting, you look off and you see the cleft. You see a hole in the cave of the mountainside. And you quickly get to that cave. And when you get to that cave, you get inside that cave. It's a cleft. You get in and you see this bigger cavern. You see a larger cavern. And there's the mountain guide. He's in there with a fire and he's cooking you some food. And it's warm. But through that cleft of the rock, you get in there a little bit further. Through the cleft of the rock, you still see this mighty storm that's overtaking everything that's outside of that cleft. You see how it's annihilating everything human. You see how it's killing everything outside. But you're still watching it on the inside of the cleft of the rock. And that's the way God is. The mountain of God, the shield of God is upon your life. See, winds and waves can't hurt you. I said winds and waves can't hurt you today if you're with God today. It will guard you. It will surround you. Amen. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you, God. It may look like I'm coming to an end, but I'm surrounded by the love of God today. This is how you fight your battles today, right, everybody? This is how you come to the way of the Lord today. Amen. Who really woke up in Mark chapter 4? Jesus, somebody say no. Yeah, I gave you the answer, amen. The disciples woke up to their faith. The disciples woke up to their power and prayer today, and what they could call out to God today, amen. Let's pray. Father, I pray with the people of God right now for the miracle of God in their life, that thing that only God can do. Wake up your prayer life right now, everybody in this house. Thank you, Jesus. There's something that you need desperately from God. I'm not talking about probably that one thing that you need $20 to get by. I'm talking about a major thing and that only God can do. You have that in your life just like I do. We think of that thing. It's in our heart, Lord, today. And right now, we're desperate. The disciples called out, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" And we call out to God right now. What is it that you can call out to God? Yes, Lord. That's it, Lord. We call out to you. I'm in agreement with my brothers and sisters that are in this room for their miracle, their life storm, Lord, right now. They need you, God. We're calling out to you. We're in the boat with you, Jesus. You're in the boat with us. And we hear the hush right now because Jesus has said, "Quiet, be still." To every one of us in this room right now, quiet, be still. He's going to save your daughter, Mama, right now. He's going to help her. Yes, quiet, be still. And cry out to God right now. He hears your prayer. That marriage is going to be restored. Quiet, be still. Peace. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Open your mouth now. and begin to praise Him because He's answered. And you're going to say in the aftermath, redemption, your story will be one of redemption. Open your mouth by faith. It's going to confuse the devil. They don't even have the answer. They're still in the church. No, confuse the devil. Act like you have the answer. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the answer. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. You're meeting people right now. You're emphasizing the right thing in their life. What's temporal, what earth stuff is earth stuff, God. We're heaven-minded now. Thank you, Lord. For what with God right now, nothing shall be impossible. Have a faith that honors God right now. Honor God right now. Faith is acting like you have it right now. It's unseen, but you have it. Amen. It's unseen, you have it. Thank you, Lord. Faith. Come on, stir yourself a little bit. Thank you, God. Yes, God. Yes, Lord. I'm believing for that. How about you? Get your miracle right now. Thank you. The atmosphere is charged right now. The atmosphere is ready. The word has been sown right now into your heart. Amen. Apply it. Amen. Thank you, Lord. How terrible it would be if you walked out of this room without your miracle or knowing that God, the problem, no, the promise of God. God is for you right now. He's not against you. God is fighting for you. Yes, Lord. Heal that person of cancer in the name of Jesus. That mama's crying out for her daughter. Yes, Lord. Jesus. Yes, God. Yes, Lord. Thank you, God. Yes, Lord. I always want to give you the opportunity to have the greatest miracle. And the greatest miracle is this, as your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed, that you would receive Christ as your Savior. A person that is lost, that is far away from God, needs a Savior. And God may have brought you here this day to pause everything so you would be reunited with Him. It's God's will that you have a forever with Him family right now, that you're part. Let the cross of Christ right now, what Jesus did on the cross right now, convince you that God loves you. God has a plan for you. You're in this room, every head's bowed and every eye closed. I'm just going to ask that your hand's lifted slightly. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'll note your hand right now and I'll pray a prayer of faith with you right now today. I'll lead you from the platform here. You'll pray right where you're at. If you're in this room today, you've never said yes to Christ or you're far away from Jesus, this is your moment. If that's you, would you lift your hand? Not to embarrass you. No one looking around. This is a private moment right now. Just saying yes to Jesus. Saying yes to Him right now. If that's you, lift your hand. I won't lead you in a prayer if I don't see your hand. Just making sure. Come on. Yeah, Jesus. Jesus is knocking right now. Yeah. Anybody? Just making sure. Father, apparently everyone is saved in this room. I made sure that I asked over and over. Lord, I paused. And so eternity, Lord, we've done what the church is supposed to do. We've equipped the church for ministry. We're going to be kind to people. We're going to, in life storms, we're going to be the disciples that have faith. We're not going to disbelieve you. We're going to go to the other side. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for the promise of God. In the mighty name of Jesus, all of God's children say amen and amen. In the name of Jesus, right, everybody? In the name of Jesus.